Casey Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hale, author, natural health expert, producer, waiting to see what kind of other thing he is today.
I ran out of things.
Okay, good. Yeah. We also have Will Hottie Potati Schmidt coming to you from the Bay Area. How you doing, Will?
Hello, I'm
Will,
good.
Did you run out of things?
No, we got this new email question into us.
Okay, cool.
Oh, cool.
All right.
We're going to just dig right into today's show. But first, if you haven't liked us on Facebook, go to Kick It in the Nuts. That's where we post all of our future show topics, except for today's, of course, because they just emailed in.
Yeah.
Somebody found out the email address.
I know.
You can even pitch show ideas if you want us to cover it, and we'll do it.
We'll do
bar mitzvahs and weddings and anything else. You got.
Yeah, we're booked up through April.
We teach digestion at weddings, you know.
It goes well.
Yeah, when everybody's drunk and listening. Yeah.
Right, and then we do the Macarena.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Jennifer emailed in. Hi, Tony.
Hi.
I guess she doesn't want to say hi to us.
Nope.
I've dealt with depression and anxiety since my late teens and recently became aware of the link between hypoglycemia and these conditions. There's a lot of information out there on how to manage high blood sugar, but not a lot about how to treat low blood sugar. My body burns through food really fast, whether it's healthy food or not. I saw a nutritionist a couple of years ago and cleaned up my diet, and it helped somewhat, but I still struggle, especially with anxiety. You talk a lot about digestion, so my question is, could my hypoglycemia and resulting anxiety have its roots in digestive issues? I recently purchased the digestion course, but it hasn't addressed this yet. Thanks, Jennifer in Atlanta.
Hello, Atlanta. I like Atlanta.
Atlanta's beautiful.
Right. They have a great punchline there. They did. I don't know. Anyways, one interesting thing, Jennifer, is I don't know how much we get into actual depression or anxiety in the four-week digestion course. I don't think we cover that at all. But what's great is that no matter what the issue that you want to understand, you can take the four-week digestion course, and that basically just teaches you how to look at your own physiology and how to understand how your digestion is functioning and what might need some improvement.
We also have podcasts about those specific subjects.
Right. So then what you could do is with that information that you gather in that course about yourself, maybe you just met yourself for the first time and it's very interesting for you, you can then go to our kickitnaturally.com site where we have all of our old podcast issues. And you just put what you need help with into the search box. Maybe it's acne or insomnia.
Leaky butt.
Or I'm a leaky butt guy. You just put that in the search box and then you'll likely find episodes where we cover that topic. So then in the topics we talk about like, what are the most common imbalances or digestive issues, et cetera, that can contribute to things like depression or anxiety? And the tricky thing is that there isn't just one cause for depression or anxiety or any of these other shows that we've ever covered. I don't think we've ever covered a show where like, this is it.
This
boom,
is it.
Drop the mic, we're done. So it's always, there's a variety of issues that can cause this. So that's an important thing to understand is that even if that course doesn't teach you what to do for these issues, it's going to give you the backbone of what you need to understand to get into this. So let's get into a little bit about depression and anxiety and how that can be linked to hypoglycemia. And it's amazing, Will, don't you think that, you know, when you really understand depression and anxiety and how hypoglycemia can be a cause of that, when someone's like, you know, it seems like there can be a link between hypoglycemia and depression. And you're like, do you think? Because when you understand what's going on, it's almost like, how would anybody that's dealing with this not be depressed at least some of the times?
Yeah.
So do you want to talk a little bit about how the reaction of hypoglycemia can create these problems?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess to start off, like the last... And my last girlfriend I was with for like 3 years was pretty much every evening she thought the world was going to end.
Can you give us her full name and phone number while we talk about her too?
But it was always, you know, it was always like she would start off like you know, typical LA girl, like maybe like have something for breakfast, but usually nothing. And then she'd be like scampering around town, going to auditions. And then by the time like 4 or 5 o'clock hits, she realized she hasn't eaten anything all day. And then she has a major panic attack, like, every day. And then she'd be super depressed and would alternate between like panic and depression. I was like, did you eat today? You know, it's like, well, I had an egg. I had an egg, you know, at like 8 a.m. It's like, dude. So, and I would, you know, I could tell like she just always had a super fast breath rate. It was like 3 times as fast as mine. She's like constantly just burning through glucose. So it sounds like Jennifer's in the same kind of case where she knows she has a fast metabolism. She did not mention once about anything about being overweight or concerned about that. And girls that have a fast metabolism don't say that they have a fast metabolism unless they actually do. You know, she's going to be a slender person, almost definitely. And if they do the self-test that you talked about, she would probably see that her blood pressure is typically quite low. And if she did her fasting glucose in the morning, it would also probably be quite low. And her breath rate would probably be really fast. So you can have good digestion and still have low blood sugar. Like you could just be ripping through food even faster. Not that having good digestion would make things worse. It would actually make things better, because if you don't have good digestion, then your body really just relies on carbohydrates for blood sugar. And if you do have good digestion, then you can also really break down proteins and fats and use those for fuel, which can be held in like the liver for longer and in the other tissues for longer. So you can have more reserves of blood sugar to draw from protein. A lot of people don't know you can make sugar from protein. You can also even make sugars from fats, a little roundabout way, but you can do that. And when we do that, then we have a lot more reserves to last us, which is why someone who has like good digestion could eat something like a hamburger and then not be hungry for like 4 hours, 5 hours. They can be okay. But if someone has weaker digestion and they eat that hamburger, they'll just feel super tired after they eat. And then they won't really break it down. They'll feel kind of constipated and they'll feel spacey when they wake up and maybe a little depressed and then anxious because they don't have any sugar because they didn't break down that protein. So
let's take a step back before you, because I think you said everything that was true, but someone who might not understand this could get a little lost in that. So first, we'll recommend that we have an episode on depression and another one on anxiety. It's important to listen to both of those before you understand how hypoglycemia can play a role in that or depression. So with depression, in most cases, we see it as a situation where there's not enough mineral in the system for the signals to travel properly, for the brain to function properly, and there's not enough glucose to be available for everything to function as well too. Because if glucose goes too low, higher mineral levels can kind of buffer that problem and the person can still function. If mineral levels go too low, if they have glucose, that can buffer the low minerals and they can function. So a person really just needs one or the other to really make it through the day. But if a person's mineral levels are low, and they can understand this by looking at their blood pressure, and if it's low, that's a strong indication that mineral levels are probably low. So with a hypoglycemic, when they're eating these carbs and they get this spike in the crash, it's in that crash when sugars are going to go low and oops, look over there, minerals are low too. Now the person has nothing to function for signals to travel through. They're depressed or they have anxiety or some type of panic attack. So that's kind of a basic understanding of how those things can happen. There's a lot of scenarios that can change that or cause it from other directions, but that's just a well-rounded look at, oh, this can cause these problems.
Yeah, and part of it is to do with the autonomic nervous system response. When your glucose goes low, your stress hormones will go high, so your body will do three things. One, it'll start like breaking down your own proteins and trying to create glucose from them to give your cells what they need, and your brain is the biggest user of glucose, so its functionality is really affected when glucose levels are low. It will also spike up your fight or flight response to try to get your blood pressure back up. So you'll feel that panic and anxiety from that, just from that hormonal response. And part of that's also to help you go find food. It's like to hunt and gather. So your body's doing that nervous system activation of the fight or flight pattern so that you go fix the situation, you get food, and so you keep your blood pressure up because when you go into fight or flight, it constricts your blood, your circulatory system. So then there's less space for the blood to be, so your blood pressure can be back up higher where it needs to be. So all of those things can make you feel really kind of stressed. And when you don't have that the glucose to run on, your cells are in this deprived state, and you don't really have endorphins or any sort of feel-good hormones going on when you're in that stress state. So that depression can come from that, of your body feeling de-enervated.
Yeah, I don't know how to use that word.
Yeah, that was a fancy word there.
Did you have word of the day?
It means not having enough energy.
Okay. Oh, that's
did you have word of the day toilet paper today?
Yeah.
I love that stuff.
Whenever we have these shows, I just flip through my etymology book and throw it in whenever, even if the word doesn't mean anything, I'll just put it in there.
That's awesome.
Like strawberry, Rick.
Yeah. Strawberry. We still haven't heard that back from him yet.
Yeah.
He's busted. So, what I like is that you're having an understanding that a hypoglycemic issue can create depression and anxiety, because I don't think I've ever had a client come to me with depression or anxiety that had a clue that anything about their hypoglycemia or even what they ate at all had anything to do with that. So you're already miles ahead, Jennifer. And the fact that you're asking, could digestion contribute to these? You're way ahead of the pack. So to answer that question, the reason that the digestive problems could be an underlying cause for these issues is, number one, the lack of digestion will restrict your ability to pull minerals out of the food that you're eating. So the mineral levels in your body will be lower. Another problem could be that if you can't break down proteins or emulsify fats properly, you'll feel lousy when you eat those. And people in that situation will start to gravitate more towards carbohydrates and starches and sugars because those are easier to break down. The person can eat those and pull fuel from them, and they don't feel lousy for the next 4 hours. So as they gravitate more to those sugars and carbs, not only could that push them more anabolic, make their insulin more of a bully, a little more overpowering and cause that harder of a crash when it gets that big spike, but if that continues to push everything in the wrong direction, then that can actually be an underlying cause for either the depression or the anxiety. You can see that it's kind of a roundabout way that it got there, but still fixing digestion would allow you to change the way that you're eating. And changing the way that you're eating can affect how all of that is responding.
Yeah, once you're able to really tap into those proteins and fats for fuel, then you can create more stable blood sugar for yourself, kind of like what I was saying in that long rant earlier. But I think important things to like focus on is, in addition to doing the good work that you're doing to fix your digestion, you also want to make sure you're eating on time, you're eating meals that help you create balanced blood sugar, and that you're eating enough. You may think, can I really eat this much? Am I going to get fat? You know, well, right now, like if you are actually under eating and your body's just ripping through all the fuel that you're giving it, it will not get fat from eating more. Like you're just going to get to burn energy and not feel like a psychopath while you do it. You know, if you are upping your calories, if your body's in this deprivation state and you up your calories to meet that metabolic rate, you're not going to gain weight. You're just going to feel good going about your day doing the kind of like level of activity that your body is inclined to do.
And when Will's talking about eating in a way that would keep your blood sugar more balanced, we like to see people remove the starches and the foods that will spike and crash their blood sugar. Like, say, remove the potatoes and the pasta, the rice, and replace it with things like sweet potatoes or yams or butternut squash or berries. All of these things have the carbs that you need to function, since you're likely functioning mostly on carbs in this situation. But it supplies them in a way that don't create such a huge spike in sugar and a huge spike in insulin, which causes the crash and the turnaround. So we call them medium carb foods. And if you can start to include more medium carb foods and remove all of the high carb and starchy and liquid sugars, all those kind of things, then you can kind of keep your blood sugar on a more even keel as you work to fix your digestion and increase your mineral levels.
Mm-hmm.
All right, if you'd like to learn how to become a health coach or even just dig into more advanced teachings for yourself or your family, go to healthprocourse.com to learn about Tony and Will's course for coaches. Registration for this course only opens to the public for about a week at a time, so be sure to register for the coach newsletter so you'll be notified when the next registration opens. You'll find more info at healthprocourse.com.
Yeah, and what's important to hit? You were going to say something else, Kenna?
No.
Oh, okay. I'll just shut up then. Oh, so when it's important for Jennifer to realize that there's such a wide variety of things that can cause those problems that by looking at your chemistry, you can figure out, okay, do I really need to focus more on lifting minerals? Do I need to focus more on improving an anabolic imbalance? Is my digestion the worst digestion that has ever existed in the human race? You know, once you figure that out, then you know where your attention should go. It's not a matter of just doing all those steps for anybody dealing with depression or anxiety. It's about looking at your chemistry to figure out what's causing it.
Cool. And Jennifer, for you and anybody else, today all of our listeners can get a free audiobook from audible.com. Just go to kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook for the details. You can get Tony's Kick Your Fat in the Nuts or any of his books if you haven't read them yet.
And the Kick Your Fat in the Nuts book really could be called Kick Your Crazy in the Nuts, too. It's almost the same book because it's in the effort to reduce insulin levels, we kind of help people be on a more even keel, keeping their blood sugar even by doing all the steps of fixing digestion and improving imbalances. And if someone's having emotional issues, it's important for them to balance out their blood sugar as well and lift minerals if needed. So it's very similar steps.
So you don't have to be overweight to read the book and get some benefits from it. Okay, last question. Wilma emailed, I'm struggling with digestion issues. No matter what I do, my breath is bad. I also have no hair. I'm being serious. This isn't a joke. They're calling it alopecia areata. Areata, is that right?
I'll call it that.
Okay, I know alopecia. I just never heard the last part.
So, Wilma. I like it when people are named Wilma.
Wilma!
You know, growing up with Flintstones, you don't see a lot of Wilma. I think that's awesome.
Yabba dabba doo.
So, Wilma, let's talk a little bit about bad breath. And I think we did a whole episode on bad breath at one point. You might want to Google or search that on the box and kickitnaturally.com. But, Will, do you want to talk a little bit about how digestive problems can lead to bad breath? A lot of people just kind of view it like it's a hygiene issue when someone has bad breath.
Yeah, I mean, what's creating the exhale is the off gases a lot of the times from bacteria in the stomach. And that's one way actually they detect the presence of bacteria in the stomach. That's one of the main causes that bad breath can come from is bacteria in the stomach. But it can also come from our own metabolism. If we have elevated ammonia levels in our system, we can kind of sense that. So those two places, if you troubleshoot them, are usually great places to start at trying to fix what's causing the bad breath. And we talked about that too when we talked about ketogenic diets. A lot of times people will experience a whole lot of bad breath initially as their body starts to process out these different ketones. That too can contribute to bad breath. So there's multiple different factors that could be at play. But if you have any sort of digestive issue that would correspond with potential bacterial overgrowth, like if you're constipated or have acid reflux or something like that, that's a good place to start looking as maybe I have a bacterial infection in my stomach that I need to clear out.
Yeah, and think about, you know, what Will's saying, you know, the waste product from the bacteria. I'm basically there's like a gazillion people living in your stomach and they're all pooping there. And as that comes back up, there's going to be an odor to a gazillion people pooping. So that's kind of what we view. And now to magnify that a little bit more, it may not just be the waste from bacteria that's causing your breath to be bad. With bacteria in your stomach like that, they're often causing that environment to be too alkaline so that you cannot break down protein properly. So when you eat a steak or a cheeseburger or some chicken or anything like that, imagine that you take your steak and some broccoli and you put it in the garbage can outside. So when you stick your head in there, it's going to smell because it didn't get broken down. It just started to rot and ferment. So if you're not breaking down your food in your stomach, it's going to do just like it did in that trash can. And as it moves through your intestinal tract, it's going to break down by the process of rotting and fermenting. And that's going to create gases that are going to come back up, come out of your mouth, and it's going to stink. And we see that with people all the time. It's very common. So if you can fix that problem and actually break the food down the way that it's supposed to be broken down, it doesn't have to rot and ferment, and all of those gases and odors don't come back up to escape the body. Mm-hmm. So that's two things. If you can fix the acid production and wipe out enough of that bacteria, you just fix two possible causes of super bad breath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and that's pretty key. And we teach how to do that, like how to clear out bacteria using like D-limonene and oftentimes supplement with hydrochloric acid also in our Almost Free Digestive Issues course. So if you haven't already done that, definitely take that on. And it's also a very fundamental thing to address your other issues. I don't know if you want to talk about those yet, but we can go into like this hair loss issue she mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go ahead and go right into that.
Yeah, so if you look up alopecia areata, they say it is an autoimmune disease, and there are possible different like causes for that and interpretations of what's going on. The disempowering thing to do would be to just say, oh, that's too bad.
You know?
Right? And to say, oh, we're trying to come up with like a drug for that, or like that's just your genes. And that might be the case. Like that might be a thing. Like you have a gene defect that is actually causing that. That's totally possible. But it's also possible that there is an epigenetic thing that you can do to help correct that situation. So there's a really great book we've mentioned in the past called Hair Like a Fox. And it's written by this one guy who was starting to lose his hair, which is different. It's a different thing, I get. It's a different thing for the kind of hair loss he was having versus alopecia areata. But at the base of it, if you read that book, you'll see like hair follicles, like your eyes, are very sensitive, delicate cells. We have some cells that are less sensitive and very good at rejuvenating themselves. And then other cells that we tend to see start to like age first, like our eyes and our hair. And our like the skin exposed to like a lot of UV light, those will start to break down the soonest and have the most problems because they're so delicate and fragile. And when we look at like what why that whole thing is, it has a lot to do with cell metabolism and oxidative stress and toxins that accumulate in our system. So if you were to not just give up and say, oh, that's too bad for your genes, you could take a more proactive approach and look and see what you can do to support healthy cell metabolism. And we talk a lot about that in our health coach training course, in the free course that we created on our product site, naturalselectionnutritionals.com, and also in our whole podcast on cellular energy production.
And we also have an episode on female hair loss. And female hair loss can be very different than male pattern baldness. That can be a very, very different thing. So if guys are listening, don't think that we're talking about that. That's not always the same. And when you're looking at female hair loss, and you can Google that show title at kickitnaturally.com. I mean, you can search in the search box there. But the first step that any woman should take is looking at her digestion, because what is hair made of? It's made of protein. So if you don't have the ability to break down protein, your body doesn't have the ability to make things that it would be made of protein and all the amino acids that come from breaking down protein properly. So someone that has saying, I'm struggling with digestive issues, I have horrible breath, odds are great that you're not breaking down protein correctly, so you're not going to be able to grow hair. And not only would your body not grow hair, but, you know, the medical world often just looks at autoimmune issues like the body just decided to attack itself. But what if, instead of just something stupid like that, that the body was actually being smart, which we kind of feel like the body's pretty smart. It's definitely smarter than we are. And what if the body was saying, okay, I don't have enough protein to make hair. I'm not going to do that. And what if it's possible that, hey, I'm going to break down some of these resources that were going to go towards hair and use them for other more important things. I'm going to prioritize to something that's more crucial. And the medical world may view that as breaking down those cells or attacking those cells that would have grown hair, when it's the reality is it's just the body is changing the priority to maybe your lungs functioning, you know, something that you need to survive.
Yeah, I think it's a huge topic that obviously it's going to be like a major matter of debate, like when your doctors diagnose you with an autoimmune disease, which is what they're calling, like saying she has. There is an article that if you're at all science minded, called Immunodeficiency, Dioxin, Stress, and the Hormones at raypete.com, where he really, really questions the interpretation of these autoimmune diseases and recognizes that our antibodies are oftentimes created by our body to clear out debris from cells that have broken down. And that interpretation of what's going on totally reframes the situation, where we no longer view the immune system as malfunctioning so much as functioning, like it's doing what it needs to do, like to clear out breaking down cells. And in light of that, then we ask the question, well, what's causing this damage that's triggering our immune response to have to do all this clearing out? And then we can get to some productive steps to take action to help support our cells in their work of making energy and staying healthy little cells. But if you check that article out, you can see, like, there's, for example, a ton of people in African populations that are exposed to different bacteria that create a lot of cellular damage and cause excessive cellular degeneration. And if you look at the tissues in those areas that are particularly infected by bacteria, they will test positive for AIDS. And that the way that they test positive for AIDS is the antibodies that are present in those tissues. And they're present because they're clearing out cellular debris. When you clean out the bacterial infection, they no longer test positive for AIDS. So they don't have AIDS. They had an antibody response to cellular damage. It's a whole different framework of what you're going to look at. And if you frame it that way, then you can start to say, all right, well, what is going on in my body that I could do to help stop and to help like preserve the health of my cells? And that's a liberating thing.
What about that guy that got misdiagnosed with AIDS and he went in and quit his job and he's like, you're a jerk, boss.
Yeah. Broke up with, divorced his wife.
Right. Yeah. So there is a lot of confusion out there. And sometimes you just have to kind of step back and look at, hey, well, does something else actually make sense? And just because somebody in a white fancy coat told me something doesn't mean that's the only possible explanation. There may be other answers. And with everything that you're dealing with, I would suggest that make sure that you're taking our almost free 4-week digestion course. And we basically built this as a free course for our book readers to help them get a visual aspect of how to do the tests and everything. But we had to charge something so that we don't get spam registrations. So we put the cheapest, it's 50 cents. So you have to spend a whole 50 cents to change your whole life. Sorry.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it might be worth it. So if you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the almost free 4-week digestion course at kickitnaturally.com, or you can head on over to Will Hottie Patati Schmidt's mybodyofknowledge.net. He's got a lot of great pain relief videos and blogs and all kinds of wonderful articles and all that jazz.
I wonder if we'll see you next week. I think we
will. Probably.
Probably.
All right.
Okay, well then, bye-bye.
Bye.